part three. You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
With John and Scott, I'm John.
I'm Scott, baby.
And this is the Heavy Metal episode.
Heavy Metal episode.
98 part 3.
98 part 3, John.
That's right, Scott.
And you're John.
I am, and you're Scott. And I've got to tell you, I love this band. Killswitch Engage. Reject Yourself. Is this like when you're... You want to masturbate, and you're just like, it's wrong, it's sinful, so reject yourself.
What are you saying, man?
I don't know.
I don't think it's sinful.
I don't think so either, but I'm just trying to grasp what the writer of this song was thinking.
Oh, the writer of the song. Maybe we can have Killswitch Engage on the show.
Oh, that'd be out of sight.
Maybe they have a Skype account, and we can interview Killswitch Engage.
Wow,
so
yeah.
And we could ask him, our first question will be... So when you masturbate, do you...
Reject yourself?
No!
No! I am not a solo sexual.
Getting back to something you said in part one about passion, about... Yeah. And we were talking about my wishy-washiness and my flip-floppiness. You said, hey, you do movies, yeah, and then you don't do movies. Yeah. But I think... When I thought about that, it's if the idea is good enough, I'm very passionate about it.
Sure, and that's the same for everybody, I
right.
think. I think passion, you really glom on to something if it really, really interests you. And when it gets to the point where it seems like it's either a job, you're turned off by it because it's just the same old shit. Eddie Murphy did that thing about having sex, same old crackers. You remember he said that?
No.
If you're on a desert island, somebody gives you some crackers, like, man, these are the best things I've ever had. These saltines or Ritz. He said when you don't have any crackers, anything to eat, the crackers are phenomenal. But if every day you're just eating these crackers, it's the same old shit. It sucks. So... You need to crank it up a notch, and I remember when we did the Araby thing. You were so fucking passionate about that. That was like every minute of the day it consumed you. You wanted this, you wanted that, you wanted it, and everybody was really interested in the project. We all participated. Phil was in it.
So it rubbed
Marty
off on you guys.
Sure. And you could tell when you're not passionate, when you're turned off by something, because it's like the same old thing, whatever it is. Whatever it is that just depassionatizes you.
Well, the thing about...
But it happens to everybody. Everybody has that same thing. And it's like, I used to tell Phil this, not the newsman, but the bass player. He was always, and this is something my wife and I talked about today. Is that it's something that you have to seek. It doesn't, like, come to you. You can't expect it to arrive at your front door. You have to seek it. And when you start seeking it, the passion will continue to drive you. I said something the other day. Be fired with enthusiasm or you will be fired with enthusiasm. So you have to have that mentality that... that positive outlook that if you don't have that passion, if you don't keep seeking something new, you're just going to lose it. You're going to get to the point like, yeah, this is the same old crackers, and this sucks, and I don't want to do it anymore. It's like a job.
I agree with that. As far as the Araby video, first of all, we need to find any copy we can so that we can post that.
I have a copy, as a matter of fact, my friend.
I was in an English class in college, and they asked to do a creative assignment.
I think it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life.
So we did based on, I can't even remember the fucking author.
It was James Joyce,
James Joyce wrote a story called Araby, a short story about this guy who is infatuated with this woman who happens to be a saleswoman at like a flea market. And he finally gets up the courage to ask her some, you know, whatever. I can't even fucking remember. And I thought that James Joyce...
In his own mind, this person in his own mind thinks that the woman has the same feelings that he has.
Right.
And he pursues her.
Oh, I know what it was. He never approached her. He just calculated all this shit out in his mind. That if he did ever approach her, she'd shoot him down. And so that's how the short story goes. He never approaches her. But when I read the story, I'm like, this is so goddamn false. The author writes, James Joyce writes with so much passion about this hypothetical situation about approaching a woman and getting rejected, that he must have approached the woman
for real. Yeah.
So what my creative response to this short story was a music video set to Good Girls Don't.
Yeah. Which Scott played guitar on. I played drums and Phil played bass.
Marty added some guitar too.
Some guitar, yep.
And
Scott did the vocals.
Did the vocals. I got a girl from English class.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out how am I going to ask this girl to be in this video where there's like almost nudity
involved.
Who
happens to be a stripper at Blackjack's,
right? Right,
right.
How am I going to do this newly married and get away with
it?
And I almost gave it up, and she approached me, and she said, you know, I heard you're very good at research. Can you help me with this? I'm like, you know what? I can help you if you can help me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I gave her the script, and I thought she'd call me up and say, fuck this. You want, fuck off, you cocksucker. You mentally disturbed a-hole.
She was a real hottie, too.
But she was totally into it. And I filmed it in analog.
Yeah.
And then you hooked me up with something that would convert it to digital.
Yeah.
And I think I edited it with Adobe Premiere.
We started with Dazzle. And then Adobe Premiere.
And we put it together. And it was pretty quick.
Pretty good.
Because I got the assignment. And within 4 weeks, I had to turn in the assignment. So we did it pretty quickly. And, it was good. And then I did the catheter.
Do you remember the passion you had? Because you had all these fucking settings. You had a hot tub setting. You had the setting at the studio, basically where we're at now. You had the setting at the college that you were going to. You even did stunt doubles for the karate scene. You did props. You did all this shit. And what I found amazing about it is that, and when it comes to direction, everything was off the cuff, and the first part of it, I did this. You did the first part when we did in the studio with the beer can sitting, everybody catching a beer can, and then Phil catching one in the head. Mm-hmm. And I did it, and I did the editing, and I showed it to you the daily,
right? The daily,
and you said to me, "Dude, you totally caught my
vision,
my vision." And you were so excited from that point on. You had not only edited, you did that, you started editing short films for your job, which included me.
Mr. Stewart.
No, before that, we had a party in my backyard where I was.
I had these
squirt guns in my hand, and you made me akin to John Wayne. or something like that, where I was like flipping them around. And you shot me, and you played the music from the Neon commercial,
mm-hmm.
I think it was, right? With your daughter and stuff in it, and you were putting together something for your work. You did some really kick-ass stuff with the car driving and all this stuff. You put together something that looked like stuff from Reservoir
right.
Dogs.
Parody, yeah.
Parody. It was fucking kick-ass. I've showed people this stuff everywhere. We did stuff where you cast me as Mr. Stewart. That was pretty funny. People wanted me at the casting party. I was so embarrassed. I'm like, and then you told me, hey, man, and you gave me a stack of pictures of me that I was supposed to sign or some shit like that.
Right. Yeah. Right. You were a celebrity.
So I appeared in videos for your job, and you were very passionate about this. Especially the one with the HR thing, with me in the cubicle.
All right, right. That was fine.
I show people that, and that is they fucking laugh their ass off at that.
Well, yeah, and getting back to Araby, so.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I segue way too much outside?
No, we're gonna have to post all these things now if I can find them. I think we already have one of the videos out.
But you are so fucking creative. The fact is that without that challenge to be creative, you start going, oh, fuck this. This is like same old crackers. So if you don't have that creative outlet so you can be challenged by it and stimulate your creativity, you're bummed out. I can tell.
Not bummed out. Really? Bummed out?
Yeah, you're like, oh, fuck, this is like a job. I don't want to fucking do this again.
No, my job is like
don't
a job.
Don't tell me how to do it.
And I've had it with that fucking job.
Don't tell me how to do it.
But getting back to Araby, it was, you say it's passion, and maybe it is, but to me, I'm just excited about it. I have
right.
that vision.
Well, that is passion.
I put it together, and it was easy to direct because I knew what I had wanted. I felt awkward, like, ordering people around that were my friends. That's where I feel awkward.
Yeah.
But then the corporate videos we did and working with you was very easy. And we have a good time. And you're a great actor.
Oh, come on.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. I mean, even at work, people still comment about Mr. Stewart. The guy that I put the first one together that you weren't involved with, he saw the second one with finance, which isn't even his department. And he still rides me about not getting Mr. Stewart into his
really?
Video. Yeah.
So well, I'm available.
I'll try to track all this shit down. Well, you know, finance came back to me and they said, hey, can you put this? We love the shit you did. Can you put another one together? I said, sure. What's your deadline? Well, yeah, we need it in 3 weeks. Yeah, okay. That's not going to work.
I'd love to reprise my role as
Mr. Stewart.
Mr. Stewart. Absolutely. Getting his ass kicked by FBI wanted criminals.
Right. The Men in Black.
No, didn't one of those guys go down, man?
No.
No?
What do
no,
you mean
you
go
told
down?
Me. He went down by the FBI. Wasn't
oh,
he
right,
selling
right.
shit
he
on
did,
the internet?
Yeah. No, he was using corporate servers to distribute pirated movies.
Yeah, right. He went down, didn't he?
He went down.
He went out in cuffs.
All right, so now to get the backing story to all this, we're going to have to find all this video and post it.
Yeah.
There on kangaroocourt.com, there is a corporate video with Mr. Stewart in it, if you want to check that out.
I tell you, man, when I play the part with, it's not so much me, but after me, when you inflate that fucking snowman to the Halakiliki, whatever. Oh, my God. Everybody I show that to laughs their fucking ass off. Oh, my God. That's the funniest fucking thing. And when you become the secret agent or whatever the hell
to get my table
when you're stealing the table with the fucking ski mask and the head or whatever. Oh my god, that's the funniest fucking thing. And my wife saw it and she goes, "Oh my god, that's like the same shit that happens in our office." And she's like talking at the stapler level, but you're talking full table level.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, I sat down with them and I interviewed them about what are some of the things that they deal with, some of the funny anecdotes that they deal with in their department. And that was one of them that came up. People steal tables. Like, they'll set out a table for some corporate event and somebody will come by and swap it or just steal it for their office.
Unbelievable.
Fuckers.
But
I'd
you totally got to get back to that level of passion.
Well, I've been mulling over ideas, especially in the horror genre.
Yeah, because of Spike.
Because of Spike and Rachel. And because
he's got some clever shit. That horror video that he does for like, it's like 2 minutes long, right? Mm-hmm. That short movie with Rachel. And my wife saw it, and the first time she saw it, she was like, "I don't get it." I'm like, "Honey, watch it again. If this was on the big screen, and I inflated it a little better on the screen, when she saw the pig dude walking past the hallway when Rachel goes from the shower to the bedroom, she fucking got so creeped out. She's like, "Oh my god, if this was totally on the big screen, that would have really fucking got me going."
And
it would have freaked me out.
And so I've been thinking about sci-fi, horror, and horror that we can collaborate, horror, with Spike and Rachel to. And we talked about this a while ago, but no ideas of. But if I do have the idea, the passion and the scheduling and all that shit will fall into line, and I'll try to get them on board.
But, yeah, you're a great director, but you need a fucking producer, man.
Yeah?
You're all fucked up when it comes to storyboard and all that shit.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, you don't do any storyboard. It's all off the cuff.
I got it up here. The storyboard's
no
up here.
Man.
What do you mean it's no good?
That's no good.
Oh, like I got time to like sketch out a
That's
storyboard.
What I'm That's why you need a producer. You need some time to have meetings with the crew.
With the crew.
Talk about it. Say, "Hey, this is my
I'm not
going to
meet with the crew. I'm going to meet with the producer. I'm not going to
meet with
the people that are in it." But getting back to Spike and Rachel.
The sound, you got to meet with editing.
The thing that struck out to me about that struck out to me?
Struck out to you? You're striking out right now, pal. Have another drink.
About Spike and Rachel's video is, there was no gore in that.
Right.
But you got
it was very
a sense
Alfred
of
Hitchcocky.
You got a sense of
what
the tingling
the
of the nads.
Go on. Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the hairs on your nads kind of straightened out.
And when I think about this fucking shitty movie I just saw, Smokin' Aces, and they think, "Oh yeah, the more bloodshed and the more guns and
let's pretend we're Quentin Tarantino."
Right.
And put together like these three backstories. Yeah, that's totally lame.
So I don't even know how to quantify it, but Spike did it, and he did it very well.
He's awesome.
Got the hairs raising on the back of your neck, you know
what
I'm saying?
And it's about passion. Spike has a passion. He really, that's something he totally digs. And if
Before
he could put it,
the passion, you got to have the vision.
Right. But
the vision and then the passion.
No, no, no.
Yeah.
Then you have the passion first, then you have the vision.
No, I disagree.
No, sorry.
I'm speaking from me. I got to have the vision first, and then if the vision is good enough, the idea is good enough, then you have the passion.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I think then it is subjective then, because the order of everything has to do with your belief system. And, you know, when you talk to people, when you write a song, are you writing the lyrics first? Are you coming up with the melody first? Are you doing this first? You know, it's different for everybody.
Right.
So I agree there that it's probably a different order.
We'll have to get Spike back on Skype and interview him and ask him.
Find out what the order
What
is
the order of his creative genius?
Or is it the vision and then the passion?
And I'm passionate about collaborating with Spike and Rachel.
No doubt.
No doubt.
I hear that, man.
I hear that. Because the people who put Blair Witch together, that was like on a 25G budget, and they made like $160 million.
Right.
Wouldn't that be sweet?
Yeah, no doubt, man.
That'd be so sweet.
All right, I got some shit to read because this is the heavy metal episode where we get...
Is it already?
We get political.
Are you serious? It's part three?
Yeah, it's part
three. Holy S.
I forgot
to get the celebrity or science or nothing.
No, I forgot to mention something on the forum. We did mention it briefly. Parabali, and you said you didn't get a chance to...
I downloaded it.
Yeah. Check out the forum because Parabali... put something together. It's his animated TV pilot, which is based on their web comic called Flat Life, and it has been entered into the New York TV Festival. And he is actually very few people have seen it so far, as he says, and I am very proud to offer the chance for TTN fans to be among the first to view it. Please leave feedback.
Have you seen it?
I have not seen it yet because I kept trying to get the Google Video version of it, and I can't. So I'm gonna have to
crapped out.
I'm gonna have to download the RAR.
I downloaded the RAR.
Yeah, the
RAR. I don't know what to do with it.
72 megabytes, but it's huge. So I really want to check it out because he is a pretty good artist. I've seen some of the work he's done on his website, theflatlife.com, and it's pretty kick-ass. So check it out. Parabali has something that's been entered into the New York TV Festival. I think this guy's very talented, and he could go somewhere. So we'll submit some pictures of John and Scott, so hopefully he'll integrate us into his Flat Life. That'd be awesome, wouldn't it?
It would be.
Yeah.
Make me want to keep podcasting. Webcasting.
No doubt, Scott.
No doubt, John. All right, let's get into politics because I've been gone for a week, but it's a goddamn fucking joke.
Yeah.
It's a goddamn joke.
No fucking doubt, dude.
No doubt. I don't even know where to start. Do you know where to start?
Hey, want me to read some here?
Sure, go ahead.
I pulled this off of Crooks and Liars. It was an email.
Crooks and Liars,
Nani Mouse in the UK. The BBC is remarking on how calm the public was during the car bomb attack on Glasgow Airport, how little panic or terror there was, mostly just people whipping out their mobile phone cameras and filming everything in sight. Arrests made on the M6 motorway in Cheshire last night as well.
Cheshire.
People got out of cars and offered help to the police. Glasgow Airport is back up and running. Passengers being interviewed coming off planes have said things are running smoothly, no problems. A bit of a hassle walking around the cordoned off bits of the airport, but no one's complaining. Lots of smiling faces. It's almost psychology in reverse. The more fanatics try to terrorize the British, the more the British refuse to be terrorized. We're more worried about the goddamn rain at the moment. And goddamn it. And that's the fucking attitude you got to have because that's the whole thing. Sit there and live in fear and the terrorists win. You know what I'm saying?
I hear that.
They have the correct mentality when it comes to that shit.
Well, in back in our country, and what I've heard about this story is this. These fucking mental patients that put this bomb together couldn't have killed anybody.
Right.
It's just going to blow up the car. That's right. It. Because they're so goddamn stupid. But over here in the U.S. of A., you got this cocksucker pole smoker Joseph Lieberman saying,
yeah.
Oh, because of this, we need to domestic surveillance.
He's a fucking
even
moron.
More so. That cocksucker. He's the one who says we need to nuke Iran, too.
Joseph Lieberman.
And the guy's such a sad sack. How did he ever get fucking elected? I don't know.
I don't know.
Because he's not attractive, John. He's not well-spoken.
He's a Jew bastard.
And he's a stupid ass. Stupid ass.
He's a fucking idiot. Actually, I had some stuff I was going to read about him on the show here. But I was like, what the fuck? Fuck this clown.
Joel Lieberman, stupid
you know,
ass.
And that's the part about the neocons. It's a lot of Democrats. They consider themselves Democrats. And a lot of Democrats back in the past used to be so pro-war.
It's a scam.
It's a big scam.
Just
they're
like
all,
psychics
yeah,
and
we
astrologers.
Gotta,
it's all a scam.
We got to protect Israel against Islam and the Middle East and all that. And it's like, fuck you.
Fuck them. Fucking fight their own goddamn battles.
Fight their own goddamn battles. And you know, if you want some sort of democracy – you know, create a free market economy over there. You know, what the fuck? What
That's
the
a bunch
f-
of shit.
Fuck?
Pisses me off, John. Here's what else pisses me off. Vice President Dick Cheney has refused to comply with an executive order governing the handling of classified information for the past 4 years and recently tried to abolish the office that sought to enforce those rules. All right, so they say, hey, man, we want to see
what
some documents. You're a goddamn public servant.
Yeah.
Let me see the shit that you've been passing around. Oh, no. I'm not part of the executive branch. I'm Dick Cheney, fucking cocksucker.
Although I was part of the executive branch when I was having secret meetings with the energy people years ago. I don't have to divulge that because I'm part of the executive branch, executive power, executive privilege.
Paul Smoker. Yeah. Go shoot somebody else in the fucking face.
Face.
And then White House refuses to answer subpoenas, John. Did you hear this? President W. moving toward a constitutional showdown with
Congress. Yeah.
Asserted executive privilege Thursday and rejected lawmakers' demands for documents that could shed light on the firings of federal prosecutors. Sure. Bush's attorneys told Congress the White House would not turn over subpoena documents for former presidential counsel Harriet Myers and former political director Sarah Taylor. Congressional panels want the documents for their investigations of Alberto Gonzalez, stewardship of the Justice Department.
Ugh.
And this, the W is just asking to be impeached, isn't
he?
Yeah,
totally.
Who the fuck is advising this chimp?
And my wife's boss, like, he's got a lot of dough, right? And I think he's always been very Republican. And he's to the point now where he is, like, fucking sick of this bullshit going on. And he had told my wife that he saw when he went to get his license renewed, there was a booth set up to impeach Cheney.
Nice.
Check this
fucking
out.
Fucking A, man.
I got this, copped this off of John Stewart's Daily Show. It's Lewis Black talking about Wikipedia versus Conservopedia. Check it out.
When conservatives perceive institutions as liberal, they buy them. If they're not for sale, they make their own. Take Wikipedia, the online encyclopedia that's edited by you, the reader. Well, apparently, conservatives feel you have a liberal bias. So they've started Conservopedia, where homosexuality is defined not as sexual attraction between people of the same gender as on Wikipedia, but as an immoral sexual lifestyle.
Oh, we gotta check that out.
Beyond the boundaries that God has set up. I got to tell you, on Conservopedia, gay sounds way more interesting.
We got to check
that
out.
Is that on site? Can you believe that? Now, Wikipedia, they think, is a liberal bias because anybody can actually add to or subtract from the information that's there, which is awesome because, like you say all the time, contributing, you know, exchange of ideas.
That's a true education, John.
There are arguments. You can click on it and you can see where there is a debate about the facts. So it's not like Encyclopedia Britannica where it comes to your house and you put it on a shelf and forever that is the information right there and you have to live by, hey, yeah, this is the encyclopedia. It's in the Encyclopedia Britannica. It's got to be true. No. There's actual real human beings day in, day out debating the facts that are on there to get to the real information, the real
the
truth.
Real truth.
Whereas Conservopedia is a bunch of conservatives making shit up, which is.
Oh, we got to go there and like type in creationism and see what they have to say about that.
Oh, my God. It's completely fucking stupid.
It is stupid. It's like almost a dogma. It's like religion. It's like this fucking faith.
That's one thing that I used to, you know, arguing with Marty about Ayn Rand. And I finally figured out why I couldn't put my thumb on it. Or my finger on it, or whatever.
Finger in it.
My finger
whatever.
In it.
Yeah.
But I finally realized why I cannot agree with the philosophy of Ayn Rand, because it's dogmatic.
Really?
It's follow this, because it's right, everything else is wrong. And I finally figured out that that's the problem. It's too dogmatic. I cannot live by those kind of rules. I have to constantly
evolve. Your ideas evolve.
There has to be progress. It has to be progressive.
Right on. And
so,
that's what it's all about.
To me, you know, being progressive is better than being conservative.
Nice.
Pro is good. Con is bad. Conservative.
You got the biological evolution. You got the evolution of ideas. Evolution is the key, baby. Everything evolves. And if you're stuck in this bullshit where they tell you how it is and that's the way it is and you cannot exchange ideas,
yeah.
And that's with all religions, like Scientology, Christian, Catholic, go down the line.
Yeah.
This is the way it is. Don't question. Don't ask.
Yeah. And I got a clip here of O'Reilly talking to Kirk Cameron.
Kirk Cameron.
He's introducing
Kirk
him.
Kirk Cameron.
What's important is what he says before Kirk Cameron comes on. And this is what O'Reilly is.
Story segment tonight, polls say about 10% of American adults do not believe in God. That's about 20 million people. So an industry has grown up around atheism. Challenging that industry is actor Kirk Cameron, who became famous in the sitcom Growing Pains, and his friend Ray Comfort. Tonight on ABC News' Nightline, they will debate two atheists. And Kirk Cameron joins us now from California. You know, I had Richard Dawkins on. He's a bestseller of the, you know, God's Illusion.
Yeah, whatever.
And I think I beat him in the debate because I basically said, look, you cannot explain to me how the world, the earth, got here. You just don't have it. You can blather all day long, but you don't have it. So, you know, to me, I'm throwing in with an oversight, a higher power that made everything happen. And it was an interesting debate, but...
Okay, so that's an argument from Idiocracy.
You're right.
From Kirk Cameronosity.
So, and this was before the debate that you played recently on the show a couple weeks ago with the
Rational Response Squad.
So this is O'Reilly with Dawkins right here.
Atheism and agnosticism is stunning. According to a Zuckerman study, in Sweden, as many as 85% of the population are non-believers. Japan, 65%. France, 54%. And in Britain, 44% do not believe in God in Great Britain. Listen now as a man who understands that position. Richard Dawkins, the author of the mega-selling best book, The God Delusion. I think it takes more faith to be like you, an atheist, than like me, a believer. And it's because of nature. You know, I just don't think we could have lucked out to have the tides come in, the tides go out, sun go up, sun go down. Don't think it could have happened.
We have a very full understanding of why the tides go in, the tides go out, of why the continents drift about, of why life is there. Science is ever more piling on the evidence, piling on the understanding.
But it had to get there. I understand that you know, the physiology of it, if you will. But it had to
physiology,
come somewhere. And that is the leap of faith that you guys make. That
you guys.
It just happened.
Well, a leap of faith. You don't actually need a leap of faith. You're the one who needs a leap of faith because you are actually the onus is on you to say why you believe in something. There's an infinite number of gods you could believe in. I take it you don't believe in Zeus or Apollo or Thor.
Fucking
you believe in presumably the
I believe in Thor.
God, Jesus.
See, Jesus was a real guy. I could see him.
Yeah.
You know, and I know what he did.
Oh, he was a real guy.
I'm not positive that Jesus is God, but I'm throwing in with Jesus rather than throwing in with you guys because you guys can't tell me how it all got here.
You guys don't know.
We're working on it. Physicists are working.
When you get it, then maybe I'll listen.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, if you look at the history of science over the, centuries,
yeah,
the amount that's gained in knowledge each century is stupendous. In the beginning of the 21st century, we don't know everything. We have to be humble. We have to, in humility, say that there's a lot that we still don't know.
And, you know, being humble is a Christian virtue.
Well,
when you guys figure it out, then you come back here and tell me, because until that time, I'm sticking with Judeo-Christian philosophy and my religion of Roman Catholicism, because it helps me as a person.
Ah, that's different. If, if it helps you,
absolutely.
And that doesn't mean it's true.
And, well, it's true for me. You see, I believe.
You mean true for you is different from true for anybody else? How does something be true for you?
Absolutely, because I can't
prove. Something's either got to be true or not.
I can't, no. I can't prove to you that Jesus is God.
Right. Does his beliefs?
What was he saying in the Kirk Cameron thing?
Kirk Cameron.
That he took him to task.
He took him to task. Yeah,
he beat down Richard Dawkins.
Well, does O'Reilly's beliefs also include harassing a woman on the phone sexually?
Yeah.
Is that they have to settle out of court?
That's how fucking stupid this fuck is. I want to fight him.
Well, again,
I want to fight O'Reilly.
It goes back to
he's very tall.
Here's what it is.
I'm going to kick him in the balls.
I'm not smart enough to explain it, so it must be God.
It's got
to
be right.
It's got to be God. And it's an argument from Bill O'Reilly's stupidicity, is what it is.
Stupidicity.
Dumbass.
I like that. It's a new thing. Right here on Total Talk Nonsense, you've heard it. Stupidicity.
What a cocksucker. And he's so goddamn arrogant and stupid at the same time. You know, that's what pisses me off most, John.
Yeah.
Is arrogance compiled
with stupidicity.
And you got that with the W?
Yeah.
You got that with Bill O'Reilly?
No doubt.
Who else? I don't know. But it really rams up my tetanus.
Tetanus.
To hear that shit.
I make fake foreskins.
No doubt, Scott.
Oh, you can't explain it to me.
Right.
So it must be God.
It's got to be God.
It's got to be God. And it's got to be God of the New Testament, right?
Right.
Not the old one where, you know, God hates fags. And
story segment tonight,
let's hear what he says again. Remember this?
American adults do not believe in God. That's about 20 million people. So an industry has grown up around atheism. Challenging
an
that industry is actor Kurt Cameron.
It's not an industry.
Famous
it's a belief.
Listen, and his friend Ray Comfort. Tonight on ABC News' Nightline.
And his close friend,
debate
Ray
two
Comfort.
Atheists. And Kurt Cameron joins us now from California. You know, I had Richard Dawkins on. He's a bestseller of the, you know,
yeah,
God's
blah,
Illusion.
Blah, blah.
And I think I beat him in the debate because I basically said, well, you cannot explain to me how the world, the earth, got here. You just don't. Atheism and agnosticism is stunning. According to a Zuckerman study in Sweden,
we gotta hear it again.
85% right. of the population.
I want to move to Sweden.
And 65%. France, 54%. And in Britain, 44% do not believe in God in Great Britain. Listen now, as a man who understands that position, Richard Dawkins, the author of the mega-selling best book, The God Delusion. I think it takes more faith to be like you, an atheist, than like me, a believer, and it's because of nature.
Like me, a
douchebag. I just don't think we could have lucked out to have the tides come in, the tides go out, sun go up, sun go down.
Earth is flat.
Well, he has no comprehension.
The tides go in, the tides go out, of why the continents drift about, of why life is there. Science is ever more piling on the evidence, piling on the understanding.
Stop it now.
But it had to get there.
I know.
Because... It started with Galileo Darwin with evolution, and there's going to be something else. Science is going to come up with more answers to these questions, and religion, even in the history of religion, they've had to change. Like just recently, we read a story about Pope Benedict.
Right.
There is no more limbo, because we've limbo. Studied it, and we've come to the conclusion that there is no more limbo.
Rush limbo,
where you are in limbo before you go to heaven. Yeah, like they studied it. What scientific method, what critical thinking did they apply to that? What a bunch of shit!
Why the fuck is Phil so late?
I don't know.
Whoa.
We should just be glad he's here, right?
Yeah.
Because he missed last fucking webcast, cocksucker.
He shows up at 39.
God, 39 he better get through his shit, man. Let me get the door.
All right. Can you get it?
Yeah, I'm on my way. I'm on my way. I'm going to run back. Can
I don't know if you can. You should try.
Yeah, follow me, man. I'm already back. Phil, can you ever run? Do you ever have a sense of urgency?
He's got the heavy feet.
Whatsoever?
Why is he getting in the time machine again?
That's like his new newsroom. Hey, we got to crank the time machine up.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, he's in there.
I want to go back to Hitler in the bunker with Eva Braun.
Has he got his cans on?
Yeah, he's got his cans. You got him muted? Mute him.
Yeah, he's muted right now.
So we don't hear from that shit. You got anything else before we get to turn it over?
There's
to
some
Phil.
Pat Robertson.
Pat Robertson?
Some masturbation.
Pat Robertson.
Masturbation tips.
Masturbation
tips? I have some stuff to read.
What do you got?
I have something on Al-Qaeda.
Al-Qaeda?
Al-Qaeda.
All right.
Bush
the
mentions
w.
Al-Qaeda 27 times in his latest Iraq speech. It says here, facing eroding support for his Iraq policy, even among Republicans.
Even a monkey.
Right. And President Bush on Thursday called Al-Qaeda the main enemy in Iraq.
Not a cocksucker.
An assertion rejected by his administration's senior intelligence analysts. The reference in a major speech at the Naval War College that referred to Al-Qaeda at least 27 times, Scott, seemed calculated to use lingering outrage over the terrorist attacks of September 11th to bolster support for the current buildup of U.S. troops in Iraq, despite evidence that sending more troops hasn't reduced the violence or sped Iraqi government action on key issues. U.S. military and intelligence officials... And my computer just went off.
Intelligent officials?
Yeah, intelligence officials.
Not your stupid
yeah,
officials.
Yeah, that's right.
We didn't hear from them. Officials. We heard from the intelligent officials.
However, they say that Iraqis with ties to Al-Qaeda are only a small fraction of the threat to American troops. The group known as Al-Qaeda in Iraq didn't exist before the U.S.-led invasion in 2003. Didn't pledge its loyalty to Al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden until October 2004, and is not controlled by bin Laden or his top aides. So what the fuck is this cock-sucking monkey preaching to us every time he gets to the fucking podium to talk about Al-Qaeda in Iraq, which he fucking created?
Well, it goes back to what we talked about before about Jon Stewart. How does Jon Stewart keep approaching this?
Internet.
I know. I
from
I don't
a
know.
Comedic. How does he not
how
fucking
he not
rip his nuts
flip
off?
Out.
Because I'm upset, Jon, and I've been upset for two fucking years about the chip in office.
Remember, we sat there and watched the.
The debates.
Debate with O'Reilly.
Kerry.
Fucking Kerry in the W.
They're like, no way
and he
this
had the box
chimp
on his back.
Is getting elected.
Thought,
there's no way.
This guy cannot articulate.
Especially
when Kerry said, even your dad's book said Iraq is a fucked up situation. How dare you talk about my father?
Yeah,
and we somebody voted in a monkey.
Special Ed, thanks.
Thanks a lot, Special Ed and Marty.
Sucker. And TV.
Fucking bumper sticker.
Yeah, spear chucking hating MF-er.
How about this?
How about it?
Not that. How about this?
How about this?
How about this? In the BBC.
Hey, can I stop you for a second?
Go ahead.
Podcast Peer Awards.
Yeah.
Is that going on this year?
Yeah.
Have we been nominated?
I don't think so.
We have not been nominated. What does that say?
Because it was, I like what the guy did, you know.
We did more creative things with production this year than we did the year before.
I know.
And how could we not be nominated?
I don't know, but it's just, it's one of those things that.
Who's the cocksucker who won last year for production?
It was this guy, man, this fucking guy that does everything in pre-production.
Yeah. We do it live, folks. That's why John needs producer of the year, because it's fucking live. We don't go back and post-produce shit.
On 625, there came an email out from Dave Hitt, the Hitman.
The Hitman.
The following is an email sent to you by an administrator of the podcast Peer Awards. And basically he says there are only a few weeks left to nominate podcasts or vote for nominees in the podcast Peer Awards. Some categories are pretty busy with lots of nominations and lively discussions, while others are strangely silent, just waiting for someone to kick them into high gear.
We should have a coup, John. And I think we should have a coup.
Basically what it is, you know, there's a bunch of podcasters that favor certain podcasts, and they think that putting together something that's totally edited, and the one guy, I forget the name of the guy that beat us the last time, his show was great. You know, I mean, he put together something that was, he put music to it, and it reflected what he was talking about, the storyline, all that stuff. And, you know, maybe there's something for a live podcast. I don't know what you could put to it, but we do everything off the cuff. We walk in, we have a quick 15-minute, 20-minute meeting what we're going to even talk about.
We used to have a goddamn board.
Yeah, we used to have a board.
Now we just say, okay, what are we going to do?
Vamp it.
Vamp
Everything's
it.
Vamped. And it's totally different than from editing it and putting music as part of the backing track to what we consider.
Nice music drop there.
Yeah,
nice.
You like that?
Yeah.
I just did it
Proving a point.
They can double click on a music track and we're playing it in the background as opposed to putting it on there later. And maybe we don't have the gist of what a podcast is. So we have a webcast. We don't need the podcast Peer Awards. Maybe there needs to be a webcast Peer Awards.
Fucking A, man. You know what else we need? We need a hot goddamn piece of ass co-anchor.
No doubt.
To come in and do celebrity news or something.
What about Erica?
What about her?
She could do it.
Could she?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, God.
Come on.
I might be one of the biggest cocks on the planet.
Come on!
What's your fucking point?
Are you a Peter Pepper?
Who the fuck said that?
The fuck you in for,
all
bitch?
Right, now, we ready
sucking.
To turn it over to...
Yeah. To Phil McCracken Witt.
To Whitcomb.
Come.
Mr. Whitcomb.
No doubt.
Well,
no doubt.
Thank you very much.
Hey, I'd like to apologize. Before you play by intro,
sorry.
I'd like to give an apology.
What's that?
My scheduling by calendar was apparently screwed up.
Your schedule?
I thought Scott was on vacation the week before. That's why I did not show up.
That is one big pile of
when
shit.
You had the two military fellows in.
Right.
I would have loved to have been there for that, because I do have a extensive military background.
Silent green.
And I could have been a very incisive interviewee, if you will.
That is one big pile
So I apologize for not showing up, but I'm glad to be here today. I did show up when Scott was on vacation and nobody answered the door.
That is one big pile of shit.
All right. Are you ready to go, Phil?
Of course, I'm always ready.
Goddamn.
When I'm here, I'm ready.
Thank you, John.
Not yet.
With your award-winning TTN News, Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Thank you, John. I'm just so excited to get back in the saddle. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Our first story tonight!
Oh, my God.
Applebee's finds out the hard way if two-year-olds can hold their liquor. Kim Marakawa was confused when her two-year-old started making funny faces and pushed away her apple juice. He had ordered an Applebee's. The explanation came from she opened the lid of the sippy cup and was hit by the smell of tequila and triple sec.
Oh, my God.
The restaurant staff accidentally gave Julian Moringa a margarita. He grew drowsy and started vomiting a few hours later and was rushed to the hospital. It wasn't going to make a big deal about it. The mother told the Contra Costa Times, but then he got sick. The apple juice and the margarita mix were stored in identical plastical bottles, John.
Plastical?
The manager was grabbed the margarita container to pour the boys' drink, said Randy Tay, vice president of Apple Bay East, which owns the franchise restaurant and 9 other Applebee's in the San Francisco Bay Area. Next story, John. Man wins the 2007
Severn
Father of the Year Award for putting up with
putting up with
7 daughters and a wife. I basically just give pretty quickly because you don't win when you're up against 6 or 8 women. And I think that's words we should all live by, John. Next story. Enterprising pastor. Figures out way to keep parishioners coming back for more. A drug dealing arrest snares a surprising suspect. The Mays County Sheriff's Office said a pastor was selling drugs out of his church. He was arrested Friday afternoon at the Salina Community Church. 72-year-old Frank Leach is in the Mays County Jail. The sheriff says Leach sold 4 Xanax tabs to an informant for $8 apiece. When deputies searched the church, they said they found more than 150 pills and more than $5,000 in cash. Next story, John. Teenager charged with sexually assaulting a horse.
What?
Teenager charged with sexually assaulting a horse. Dude, nay means nay. Next story, John. Multi-penist, six-legged, two-anused piglet. Given silly name. A piglet in Croatia, born with 6 legs and 2 penises, has been nicknamed Octopig by his owner. The farmer, Evika Sik, from the village of Vrjalapaji, said Octopig also has 2 tetanuses.
No.
He said the pig was growing so fast that they decided to keep him as a pet. India's... next story, John.
Tetanus.
India's cheapest car soon to be unveiled by Tata Motors at roughly $2,500. That's Tata Motors.
Tata.
In other news, India has a car company named Tata Motors. Jiggity, jiggity, John. Next story. Who knew embracing while driving is illegal in the state of Washington? So is being nude while driving drunk. A Washington state trooper got an eyeful while setting a drunken driver in a Bellevue recently after pulling over a 1997 Ford Explorer that was drifting between lanes on I-90. The trooper discovered the driver and passenger were naked. State troopers say the situation demonstrates that drinking and driving isn't only deadly, it can also be embarrassing. The passenger, a 20-year-old Seattle woman, retrieved a shirt and tried to hide her alcohol containers. Is that what they're calling them now, John? But the driver made no attempt to cover up. Both were instructed to put their clothes on. The driver, a 19-year-old Seattle man, was submitted to field sobriety tests and arrested for DUI and embarrassing while driving. Embracing while driving.
What's your fucking
The passenger point? Was cited for MIP.
Whatever that means.
Next story, John. Tennessee drought may curtail Jack Daniel's production.
Really?
There's a Tennessee drought that may curtail Jack Daniel's production. In related news, God hates 80 proof. Next story, John.
Dude, man, I've got a great idea. I'll act like I'm falling, and you take a picture for my MySpace.
What's your fucking point?
Unfortunately, it was 75 feet too late. A 70-year-old Livermore boy was seriously injured Monday night in Mount Diablo State Park when he tried to fake a fall for a camera.
Oh, my God.
And then actually fell 75 feet into rocks.
He's going to be our next president.
The teenager was a Sentinel Rock, a vertical formation near Rock City Popular. When he moved outside of the handrail, lost his footing and fell into a crevasse and became wedged between rocks. Friends of the boy, who was hospitalized with multiple traumatic injuries, told rescuers he had been trying to stage a photo of a fake fall for his MySpace website.
he slipped and fell for real. Next story, John.
Bail denied for alleged spam king. Will await trial in prison. Getting his inbox filled with offers of mail enhancement.
Oh, yeah.
Next story, John. This is just hot off the press. Hot off the press, John. This just in. Man stabbed with sword.
A sphincter says what?
Fish. Taken to hospital. A man has been attacked with a swordfish snout at a home. Invasion in central Queensland. Police said the man let themselves into an occupied caravan in Bundaberg about 11:30 p.m. yesterday. Then they attacked the 40-year-old male resident with a swordfish described as cartilage with a row of severed, serrated teeth.
I got some audio of that.
Before fleeing.
I do.
Let me hear that, of course. The man was treated by paramedics for cuts to his back, hands and arms. Police are investigating the sword fish attack. Next story, John. Texas City programs cameras to ticket drivers almost run a red light. Texas City programs cameras to ticket drivers who almost run a red light.
Say that three times.
I put
really
the emphasis
fast
on the wrong syllable.
Yeah.
Texas
I shot
City's
the city sheriff in Shoeshine
program
City.
Program cameras to ticket drivers who almost run a red light. Not clear if they will let you almost pay the fine. Next story, John. Because they've been right about absolutely everything until now, the White House sets the record straight again. The mystery of the W's missing watch has been solved, John.
Oh.
After days of internet rumors and international reports that the president's watch was stolen as he was mobbed by a crowd in Albania a couple weeks ago, the White House is setting the record straight. Asked at Tuesday's, briefing if the president's watch was lifted, spokesman Tony Snow answered,
"Tetanus.
No, it was not. It was placed in his pocket. The president put it on in his pocket and returned it safely home."
Oh, bullshit.
Snow says a careful review of the video of the scene confirms no pilfering. Next and last story tonight, John. Oregon judge, and this is great news for Oregon. And I heard Scott was just in Oregon. Oregon judge rules that lap dances are protected by state constitution.
Wow.
And that's the news, John.
All right. Thanks again, Phil.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, Scott.
With come.
Yes, glad to be back.
Yes.
And, Scott, I'd like to chime in on your 100th episode, and that may be the end. I really don't know what I'd do with myself.
Right.
I might have to offer my services to air out my shorts. I might have to move to Toronto.
Right. In our urethras, we have a little teeny tiny
and actually shove Preston Button's small hands down my pants to get a job. You know what I'm saying? Other than that, I may have to move to the UK and maybe offer my services to Pucky and Polly B and Tony Hurt. Or maybe, just maybe.
Oh, God.
I'd have to fly out back to Hollywood and become the new Access Online reporter.
I might be one of the biggest cocks on the planet.
I could be.
All right, get out.
All right, then.
I'm on my way. Great to be back!
Thanks for coming.
I'll see you guys for 99.
All right.
No doubt. Later.
Wow.
All right, Phil.
All right.
Kraken Whitcomb. Award winning. We say award winning. Did he ever actually win an award?
Sure. He's been nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize.
Really?
Just like Rush Limbaugh. Yeah. What the fuck?
Right
was
on.
That?
Right on, John. I think my matter.
Are you a peanut?
I think my bladder may be getting smaller because I have to piss like every 30 minutes.
That's why we got to go.
All right, man.
It's the end of the show, folks. Thanks for coming. 98
part 3.
Thanks for not fucking calling as usual. We've been having the fucking Skype up.
Give
for
out our Skype
three,
promo number.
Weeks.
The one where we play fast, where we do a little fast. I like that one.
The fast one?
The fast one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, John.
We have Skype, so call us at 1-847-TTN-JIZZED. You want to be on the show?
The Skype line is usually open on Sunday nights between 8 p.m. and 11 p.m. Central Standard Time.
You think you have what it takes to beat down John playing shit or Shinola?
Or maybe you have a TTN correction and you'd like to educate Jizz and Skizz.
Or maybe you're just a lowly SOB like me.
Whatever the reason, just give us a jingle. That's 847-TTN-JIZZED or 847-889-4493.
Yeah, you fucks. Give us a call.
Especially when we're online.
Phone. No doubt.
I got a backup. I got a backlog of shit or Shinola questions,
no
John.
No doubt.
Backlog. Ba-da-da-da-da.
Let's get ready to play.
Shit or Shinola.
No doubt, man. Hey, Scott.
Hey, John.
We have Skype. So
no
call
shit.
Us at 1-847-TTN-JIZZ.
I'm going to call right now, John.
Hey,
Skype
John.
Line
we
is
have
usually
Skype.
Open on Sunday nights between 8 p.m. and 11 p.m. Central Standard.
Call us, God damn it.
Down John playing
call the fucking hotline now. He's banging poop in back. It's falling out. My crack. Hey.
Come on.
I got to poop it, poop it.
Hey. Come on.
It's falling out my crack.
Hey.
Take it to the bridge. Anus.
All right, we got to go. We're AKC. No,
right there.
We're
just that last 2 minutes, producer of the year, in my opinion.
No doubt. John and Scott. Episode 98.
He's John.
He's Scott.
I
we're out of here. No doubt, motherfuckers.
No doubt, motherfucker.
Later.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to John and Scott.
On Total Talk Nonsense.